This morning's reading is in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Fantastic. Thanks, Julie. Okay, so that's chapter 3, 21, or chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. That's the passage we're going to look at this morning. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Remember the context. So I want to emphasize this for us again. Remember the context where we are here. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the new community. I like that phrase. Several of you afterwards said last Sunday, you like the expression of the church being the new community. It's different from what's around us. We're sinners, saved to be part of this new community, with all our background, with all our baggage, with all our different characters and personalities. But he's called us to be a new community, radically different from the society and the culture around us. A community, church, community. We are to be different. We're to be marked by unity. We're to be marked by our love and our thoughtfulness together. We're not talking about someone else. We're not talking about those outside. This is his word to us, all right? This is his word to us. This is us. This is what God wants us to be. This is God's word to you. This is his word to me, to us as a group. It applies to every other church, but I'm your pastor. I'm your teacher. This is his word to us. He wants to make sure that we are a people of love and thoughtfulness, people who forgive each other, regardless of, you know, togetherness, regardless of our ages, regardless of our background, regardless of language, regardless of personality, regardless of upbringing, regardless of all of those things. We're to be working together to be this new community. Why? Well, I'm not going to get to this bit this morning, but it's verse 21. It says, to him be glory in the church. Just let that settle with you. This is what it's all about. Ultimately, this is what it's all about. To him. He hasn't saved us simply for our benefit. We're not what we are just so that, you know, we'll look at some wonderful things and the things that Ray would say. God is able to do for us, for you. God, when he comes in and he puts his Holy Spirit in you and he forgives you, of course, there's a huge benefit for you, isn't there? And as church, we find huge benefits individually. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless your life. He wants to help you. Doesn't mean he's going to make it all easy, but he wants to be with you. There is a huge blessing. There's a huge benefit from being a follower of Jesus. But ultimately, let none of us forget that we're here for the glory of God. It's for the glory to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations. That's why local church is so important. That's why church is important. It's why the national, the global church is important, regardless of its groups. You know, that's why it's such a bad thing when people see the church or a church split and divided and, you know, not at peace We're called to be different from the world. Do you get it? You know, it isn't an option for us just to be like others. But that is so hard, isn't it? You know that. I know that. You know that because every Sunday you have to put up with me being the one at the front here. You know, the only way that you'll gain patience is by having something where you have to operate with patience every week. So I think that's probably why God has made me a pastor, put me in this role, so that it gets others to exercise and grow in patience and tolerance and understanding. I partly jest. But, you know, it is within community, when we rub shoulders with others, that we have to learn and grow. We put ourselves, you know, we can't get our own way, can we? Because we either stand and we demand our own way and we insist on the way things, and we get uptight and we get upset and we blurt out and we say things, and, you know, and not just say things, but we say things in the wrong way. We either do that and give in to our natural selves, or somehow we manage to grow to be different to that. Gentle, tolerant, understanding. How? That's hard. How do we do that? Well, we looked at that last week, and we continue with that a little bit to a degree this week, because that is the context of this, where Paul says that I pray that you might be strengthened in your inner being. It's a work of God. It's his Holy Spirit that will help us to do that. So it's God. And then he ends this bit here, still in the context. But I want you to grasp that this is not just an individual thing. The context is for the church, and the church is important for God. I want us to have this, you know, in our hearts, in our minds. I thank God for what this church is. I bless God for the day that he ever opened your heart, those of you who were around at the time, to call me to be part of you and to be your pastor. I thank him for that. There's not many days don't go by when I don't say, thank you, God, that I'm part of this church. You know, I'll get emotional if I'm not careful. But I love you, and I love this church. I love everything it stands for. I thank God for Brian Ward, my predecessor. Man of God. And he molded this church so well. And, you know, he gave you good foundations. And, you know, in the image of Jesus. And I thank God for that. And my greatest desire is that we'll ever continue to be that. That as a church, we will always be marked out. That people will feel this is a safe place. A place of love and acceptance. And those of you who've come in, so many of you have said, that's what we feel. Now you're part of us, you've got a responsibility to keep maintaining that. To work with us. Because you're part of us, it's not us and you. You are part of us. You are part of this church. Work with us. This is what we're about. We're about the glory of God. We're about working together. We're about being united. It's not about us. But all of that said, there is a wonderful thing in this passage, that what God says for the church is true for us as individuals. You know, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask, not just for the church, but for you as one of his people, as an individual Christian. You know, in any situation we're in, God is able. And if I had a PowerPoint, and I haven't this morning, I've got two media things I want to show you as we go through. So no PowerPoint, but this is what I want to stick in your mind, that little phrase, God is able. Okay? God is able. God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. God is able to do it. We must not put God in a box. We mustn't put God in a Sunday box. You know, that God is just for Sundays. God is what we do on Sundays. He must be with us in our minds. He is with us. But we've got to understand this, that he's with us. And he's the God of the whole week. Monday. I increasingly see our Sunday times as the times to gear you up when you have to go out and live outside of this environment for Monday morning. You know, my desire is that Sunday will pep you up, fill you up with the Spirit of God, with the power of God, with vision, you know, courage and encouragement and support that God will give you, that so that you go out. For some of you, don't even have to get as far as Monday, do you? You know, Sunday afternoon is enough. You know, so that you go and you're ready, equipped to live for him. And God is with you as much in that situation, and he's able to help you as much in those situations as he is when we're together in church. There's nothing that God cannot do. We mustn't put God in a box. He's interested in every part of our life. As Ray said, he's absolutely right. He's interested in every part. At home, in a difficult marriage that you might have, or the frustration of not having a marriage, at work, in the job centre, in the doctor's surgery, at the consultant's appointment that you go to, in the operating theatre, and yes, ultimately on deathbed, God is with you. And God is able to do immeasurably more than you think or imagine. We really must not put God in a box or limit him to what we think is possible. This verse tells us that God goes way beyond our thoughts. God is able. Do you ever find in life that you have high hopes for things and they end up in disappointment? You know, you're expecting something and you're going to buy something, or you're going to see something, or you're going to go on holiday. You see something with some slick advertising and you think, you know, it's what you need and it's going to make such a difference, and you get it. Have you ever had that experience? And it's a disappointment. It's a disappointment. A few years ago, many years ago, I got suckered into going to one of these sale things. I haven't seen them around. Those of you of a certain age will remember, you go to a sale, and sale of often just slightly out of date things, but you get them really cheaply. I remember going to one of those. We needed a tally, and it was offering tallies, you know, instead of 300 quid, they were tallies for 25 quid and less, and that kind of. And then they say, you know, I've got these tallies, but I'm not going to sell you just a television. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put the Blu-ray in with it as well. And I'll tell you what, not just a Blu-ray. You need something for your kitchen. I'll put a microwave in for it. Are you still? Yeah. And you know, they do all of this stuff. Yeah. I got suckered into one of those once. And what a tally. And we decided we weren't going to go for the tally, but I did need a camera. My word, that camera, I think I paid 25 quid for it. It was probably worth a penny. Oh, man, I was so cross. I thought, Stuart, you're better than that. I obviously wasn't. You get disappointed by things. You have hopes. You have expectations. You know, things you're looking forward to. Things you've built up in your mind. In our advertising-crazed world, it often happens, I think. Made to look glitzy and, you know, it's the answer to what you need. You know, with God, it's not the case. If God is a disappointment to you, then there's something wrong, because God should never be a disappointment. God, the God of the Bible, is able to do immeasurably more than you think or even imagine. You know, so with God, it says in Matthew chapter 19, says with God, nothing is impossible. That's the word of God. That's what God said. Nothing is impossible. There's an interesting twist on that. If you understand the Greek, the word nothing means no thing. No kidding either. You didn't get that, did you? Nothing, no thing. It's not profound, but we just tend to glance over it. No thing is impossible with God. He can do anything. When Mary was told that she was going to have a baby, and she wasn't married, she was still a virgin, and she said, how can this be? You know, it's ridiculous. He said to her, nothing, no thing is impossible with God. No thing is impossible with God. Do you believe that? This is the word of God to us this morning. Everything is possible beyond what you can dream or think or imagine. We started with the song, indescribable, incomparable. You know, tells everything, controls everything. This is our God. We're going to watch a little clip here. I hope they'll just take your mind out to think of the greatness of God. I'm grateful for Emma's help with putting this together. We put some music to a clip which I'd found. Some of you might have seen it on YouTube, but if it plays, just let it take you to think of the greatness of God and his knowledge and control. come to worship today. Your God, my God, that's what he made. The big, the minuscule, the quarks, the smallest. We've never seen a quark. But they've worked out they must exist. God, who's able to do immeasurably more, do you think that he couldn't do it when he did all of that? He's the God that controls your life. He's the God that saved you. He's the God that loves you. He's the God who's committed to you. He's the God who's your father. He's the God who's with you. Knows yesterday, knows today, knows the future. This is him. And he's the God, it says, that lives in you. See, Paul says, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within you. Oh boy. There's a bit in the Bible where Paul said, who is sufficient for these things? And I feel a bit like that when we talk about these. Who is sufficient to describe this glory, this wonderful God who lives in you? God of heaven, we sang, living in me. This indescribable, indescribably powerful God, this indescribably wise God. You know, that DNA, that going down less than the DNA, going right down to the God. And the Bible says that we are the temple, that in some mysterious, strange way, that God lives in us. That God of all that power. Or as Paul puts it earlier on in this letter, he talks about the God, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. That God, that power is at work in you and is for you. That's the Holy Spirit. The temple of the living God. And often we feel powerless, don't we? And let's face it, we are by ourselves. We are weak, we're, you know, so frail. We're intimidated, we're daunted. We're given to worry and anxiety and uncertainty. And they're all natural things. But here is the source of our comfort. Here's the source. And I'm talking to those of you who are Christians, and I trust that's all of you this morning. If you're not, then you ought to be, because this God wants to be your friend and he wants to be with you to help you. You know, we can talk about that if you want to. I'd love to. But just now, we're talking to you who are Christians. This is the God who lives in you to comfort you, to strengthen you, to give you victory over the things that you think you can't win in. Paul said, by myself, I'm nothing. But he went on, but I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It's not about me, it's about him every single time. And when we look at it like this, the sky becomes the limit, doesn't it? Or rather, it doesn't, because it goes beyond the sky that we can see. It's not what I can do, but what can God do? I want to encourage you this morning. Some of you may be in some really difficult times, and you might be facing some situations, a situation you think, I do not know what to do. I do not know how I'm going to get through this. I want to encourage you this morning. God will be with you. God will help you. God can do immeasurably more than you can think or imagine. You might think, well, what can God do with me? And I'm used, I'm just me, I'm not anything, and I haven't got, you know, all of that. We're great at saying what we can't do, aren't we? You know, if God takes hold of your hands, if God takes hold of your mind, if God takes hold of your heart, what can't he do? It isn't about how strong you are. It isn't about how clever you are. It isn't about how much you know. It's about God and what he can do. You know, when you talk to somebody and you tell them about Jesus, you haven't got to have all the answers. You haven't got to have all the things, because this is God's word. These are God's promises. The power, it says in the Bible, that this is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. It's not your argumentation. It's not how clever and how wise you are. This, the message, is the power of God for salvation. All you need to do is share it. And God will do the rest. You say, but people's hearts are so hard. Hey, are they so hard that God can't open them? Didn't you? What did we see in Ephesians earlier on? What did it say about our heart? It says we were, what were we? We were dead. We haven't forgotten that already, have we? You know, we were dead. We were objects of God's wrath. And he's made us alive. He's given us life. He's given us faith. He quickened us, you know, made us new people. If he's done it for us, then he can do it for others as well. In fact, I would go to far as to say, sometimes our weakness can be our biggest asset if it turns us to make us rely on God. When we think we can do something, we will struggle. But God is able to do it through us. And this God that we're talking about here, and I've just tried to open out a little bit with you, he's your God. There's a piece of media which I've played several times, but not for a little while, and it needs to be dusted down. We need to hear this again for our encouragement this morning, for your encouragement. Because I hope you're sitting here thinking, yeah, that God is my God. I wonder if you can think which clip it is. Those of you who've been around for a little while, one of my favourites, all-time clip from S.M. Lockridge. Ring a bell? That's my king. And we've got a different version of it today, you'll be pleased to know. Just to ring the changes a little bit, but I want us to watch this at the end and just take it in that this is your king. This is an extract from a sermon back, I think it was probably in the 1950s. But boy, can this man preach.
The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Do you know him? No means of measure can define his limitless love. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's impurely powerful. And he's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's a fundamental doctrine of true theology. Do you know him? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? My king is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yeah. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. And Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Yeah! He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king.
I think that's great. He's my king. Who's yours? Who's your king? Just answer that in your own heart. Who do you serve? Who's your Lord? Who's your master? If it's him, he is able to do immeasurably more than you ask or imagine. Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us in the Bible and by your Holy Spirit into many of our hearts this morning. Enlarge our faith. Enlarge our understanding. May we live by faith, believing. May we step out in faith, trusting, looking to you, holding on to you, loving you, serving you, looking with expectancy at what you will do. Let us never be made to feel we're only me. Yes, we're only me, but we've got the God of heaven living in us. And for that, we are eternally grateful. Father, thank you. Send us out from this place this morning after we've sung, for those who'll go home with a song and a joy and a hope and a confidence and a strength for this week. For those of us who will remain around to talk about your work and your kingdom work here, bless us, but give us a spirit of faith and positivity as we meet together to seek your face and to understand what you're saying to us as a church for the future. So Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this glorious, glorious fact of truth this morning. You're able to do immeasurably more than we think or imagine. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.